grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon today is based on the gospel reading that we've just heard from Matthew 5. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word and everything it has to teach us. We pray today that we would receive it once again into our hearts and minds and lives, that it may be for our building up, for the strengthening of our faith and our love, that we might be your salt and your light in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our gospel reading today, Jesus discusses three key elements or ingredients of our life with him. We could describe those as a pinch of salt, a dash of light, and a generous helping of God's word. So that's how I'd like to approach the text today, looking at a pinch of salt, a dash of light, and a generous helping of God's word. Now, like with any recipe, each ingredient is important in its own way, and understanding how those ingredients work together is also important. Many people have a story of something they've cooked or a dish they've ruined because they didn't follow the recipe properly. And here's one of mine. When Megan and I were first dating and I was trying to impress her with my culinary skills, of which I had none, I tried to make a buttered chicken recipe from scratch. Unfortunately, at that stage in my life, I was entirely unaware of the power of corn flour. And so I overdid it just a tad and made a buttered chicken sauce that was thick and stodgy and horrible. Being too polite and too cheap to find an alternative, we tried to eat it, but struggled and gave up halfway through. These days, we buy the butter chicken sauce in the packets, which is much, much better. There are, of course, many ingredients in the Christian life, many elements that go into the recipe of God's mission in the world, if you like. But today, Jesus draws out just three of those for attention: the salt, the light, and the generous helping of the Word of God. So I want to look at those in turn. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says to his followers. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's probably hard for us nowadays to fully grasp the value and the importance of salt in the ancient world. If you think of a time before refrigeration, before modern ways of preserving food, before modern medicines, modern cleaning products and methods, modern, the availability of many herbs and spices and these sort of things in our cooking, salt was it. Salt was available, but salt was valuable. Salt was it. Salt was used. It was of high importance. Salt, as we know, preserves food, salt cleanses, salt purifies, salt flavors. Salt was a highly sought-after commodity in those days. So the first thing we can say about Jesus' words to his followers today, when he calls them the salt of the earth, is that he sees them as useful, valuable, important, integral to his life and his mission in the world. Now, notice that he doesn't say to them, you will be the salt of the earth, or you should be the salt of the earth, but he says, you are the salt of the earth. By virtue of your faith in Christ, your life with Christ, your following of Christ, this is who you are, the salt of the earth. So as Christian people, we're called to several things as a result. We're called to preserve, to protect all that's good in the world, the many blessings God's given, including the blessing of life itself. We're called to purify, to cleanse like salt does, to keep our own lives pure and in check, and to encourage others to do the same. We're called to flavor the earth in a special way, to bring God's love and mercy and grace and peace to all with whom we interact. And so in that sense, to flavor the world with God, it's what we're called to do. Of course, there is always the danger of being too salty, of overdoing it, of forcing our faith on others. I used to definitely be guilty of adding too much salt to almost everything I cooked and made. It's a great way to ruin any recipe, isn't it? Just too much salt. In the ancient world, it was actually common for enemy tribes to salt the earth of the opposition, the enemy, as a way of ensuring no food would ever grow there again. In fact, if you're a Simpsons fan, Homer Simpson once did this to Ned Flanders, if you remember that episode. Picked all his flowers and then salted the earth so nothing would ever grow there again. So, you know, salt does have that dangerous side to it as well, and being too salty is not a good thing. But Jesus seems to suggest today that the bigger danger for Christians is actually the other way. Not being salty enough. Losing our flavor. Losing what makes us who we are. And then the result being, he says, the salt's just thrown out. It's trampled underfoot. Because salt which isn't salty is not good to anyone. And so Jesus seems to see that as the main danger. Losing what makes us unique, what makes us God's people. Losing our ability to be different to the world around us. And hence add a flavor to the world that it would not otherwise have. I would see this as the greater danger, or at least the main danger, for the modern church. That we become so eager to fit in with the world and relate to the world and be like the world and connect to the world, that we actually give up what makes us useful for the world. We give up our salt. We give up what makes us unique as the people of God. Jesus goes on, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one after lighting a lamp puts it under a bowl, but they put it on a lampstand and it gives light to the house." Now, if we've established that salt was important in the ancient world, how much more so was light? If you imagine a world before electricity, you know, before house lights, street lights, torch apps on your mobile phones, right? Anything like that. Light is critical. Light is so important. Light provides safety and it provides security. It provides sight. And light, as well as all that, was a universal symbol of everything that was good and beneficial and beautiful and useful and understood. So we talk about someone seeing the light, or when the light goes on, or we say someone is enlightened, and what we mean is that they've come to a realization of something. Something good, something true. So light is this kind of really essential thing for our lives, but it's also a very powerful symbol of everything that's good and true. Again, Jesus says to his followers, this is who you are. This is who you are. Elsewhere, he says in John's Gospel, I am the light of the world. But here in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. And we hear that often at St. Mark's because every time we have a baptism and we present the candle to the person, we say, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine to the glory of God the Father, which is from Matthew 5. So Jesus is the light, but we reflect his light, something like the relationship of the sun and the moon. He's the source of the light, and we're called to reflect that light in the world. And Jesus says, when you light a lamp, you don't hide it. You don't starve it of its oxygen, instead you place it on a stand. Each of us has been placed on a stand. And that stand might be the family in which we live and the community in which we live and the school in which we serve and the church in which we operate. All of that is part of the room that we're on a lampstand in the middle of and called to shine out to. Often, it's not things we have to go looking for. It's things that are right around us. That's what a lamp does. It lights up what's around it. But only if it's on the stand. Not if it's tucked away in the corner or if it's covered up or starved of its oxygen source. So again, Jesus' words of encouragement and blessing carry this side word of warning not to cover up the light that we have. Not to starve it of oxygen. Not to let our faith burn out in that way. Rather, to feed the light with the light of Christ, to learn from him so that we can reflect him to the world, to do good works, but to do them with such grace and peace and mercy and modesty that when people see them, they're not drawn to us, but they're drawn to him. That's the goal, that people are drawn to the source of the light through us, not to us as such. You are the light of the world. then all of a sudden, towards the end of our text here, Jesus seems to take a different tack. He says, by the way, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So as we learn about what it means to be salt and light in the world, we continue to need a very generous helping of the Word of God. In other words, we need to receive something if we're going to give something. We need to be recipients of God's grace and especially learners of God's Word if we're going to be able to share that Word with other people. Because it is the Word, the law and the prophets, it is the Word that preserves us, that purifies us, that teaches us, that flavors us, that enlightens us, so that we can have that impact on the lives of those around us. And Jesus says that's not going anywhere. The law and the prophets, the word of God, not one letter is going to be removed, not one iota, not one little stroke of a letter. He refers to this little Hebrew symbol, which is about as big as an apostrophe. You know, nothing's being taken away from it until everything has come to its goal, its completion, its fulfillment that God intends for it. And he adds this great warning and this great word of encouragement too for teachers and for teaching ministries in the church and for anyone who would seek to teach others. That on one side, you know, if we teach others to break the commandments of God and the word of God, we'll be called least in the kingdom of God. But on the other side, and here's the encouragement, if we teach others to keep those commandments, to hold on to that word of God, to learn it, to grow in it, be called great in the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus puts a huge amount of value on that work of teaching and instructing and helping others to grow and receive a generous helping of the Word of God in their lives. It's great that we could have our school staff here today for a special installation and rite of blessing, and we thank God for you. We thank God for the work you do with your students, and especially this work of helping them grow in their understanding of the Word of God, being salt and light to the students in your care. Now, that's not an easy gig, and you know that better than the rest of us, but partly it's not an easy gig to pass on the Word of God these days, because these are not ingredients that many people in our culture want to receive, want to taste, like the taste of. And yet our calling is to keep serving it up and continue to share it with them regardless. We teach it and we live it because that is who we are and that is who we have been called to be. The good news in the midst of all that is that it doesn't actually rely on us, but on the grace of God at work in and through us. He is the one who fulfills the law and the prophets. He is the one who promises to accomplish all this. He is the one who preserves and purifies us. He is the one who flavors our lives with his grace and his mercy and his peace. He is the true light of the world, and it's his righteousness that exceeds that of even the scribes and the Pharisees. It's on him that we rely. Jesus is the key ingredient then in our lives who enlightens and enriches us as he calls us to be who we are, the salt and light of the world. Let us pray that we would be. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us such a special place in your family and calling to be your salt and light in the world. Help us to grow daily into that mission. Help us to learn what it means and how significant it is to the people around us, not just to be like them, but to be who you have called us to be. Lord, may those words that we share with others be well received. Open hearts, open minds to receive them. And ultimately remind us that it doesn't all rely on us, for we too have a Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, the true light of the world. In his name we pray. Amen.